Well, good morning. Welcome. We like to start our services with this greeting that Christians have been using for a long, long time. The Lord be with you. Thank you. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Let's pray as we begin. God, we are grateful for your presence. Hey, we're not grateful for that, but we're grateful for your presence here with us. We're grateful for the opportunity that we get to gather together to sing to you, to worship you, to pray to you, to bring to you our needs, knowing that you're the God who loves us, that you're the God who can meet those needs. You're the God who can forgive our sins. You're the God who can comfort us in our grief. You're the God who can give us strength and courage to face the challenges ahead. The God who can give us wisdom and guidance as we try to navigate our way through this life and the different challenges that it brings. God, today we come to you confident in your love for us, confident in your grace that you have for us, that we can come to you and find all that we need in you. So God, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to sing our songs of praise to you and to listen for your Holy Spirit speaking to us. Please, God, help us to have hearts and minds open to you that we might hear your voice today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If we haven't all been deafened by the squeal that happened just a moment ago. All right, we like to start by singing, so let's stand and let's sing as we begin to worship. Would you bow your heads with me? God, we do bow before you, in our hearts at least. We acknowledge that you are God and that you have loved us with a love that's beyond our comprehension. Your word says that it was while we were still sinners that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to come and to die for us, to lift our sin off of us and to take it on himself. By his death and resurrection, to defeat the powers of sin and death and set us free. Before we'd ever asked for your help, God, you loved us so much you couldn't bear to see us stuck in our sin, stuck in darkness, stuck in these lives that were leading straight to death. So God, we thank you. Thank you. As we just sang, I mean, we bow before you. We ask you to forgive us. We ask you to cleanse us, to wash us, to give us clean hands and pure hearts, to change us from the inside out, to change the kinds of people that we are, the kinds of lives that we've been living. Thank you, God, that out of love for us, you are full of grace and mercy. And you do forgive our sins. You do wash us and make us clean. We don't get our act together and then come to you, God. We just come to you and acknowledge our need. And you forgive us. You restore us. You redeem us. You transform us, God, from the inside out. You embrace us as your sons and daughters. And you give us the gift of your Holy Spirit, enabling us to live a new life. Thank you, God. Thank you. Continue to pour out your Holy Spirit on our gathering together today. Continue to speak by your Holy Spirit. Whisper to our hearts and minds. Remind us of your great love for us, of your dreams for us, of the lives that you created us to live. Thank you, God. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Let's take a couple minutes to extend that peace to each other. Shake somebody's hand. Wish them a happy Sunday. Introduce yourself to somebody. Okay. Ran out of time there, I guess. Everybody get one of these when you came in? A little welcome bulletin. Lets you know what's going on around here these days. Inside there should be a little green welcome card. We always love it when you fill those things out. Let us know you're with us today. And, of course, if there's any way we can be praying for you or something you want more information about, you can jot that on there. Just make sure it makes it into the offering box by the door on your way out, okay? If it ends up somewhere else, I'm not going to see it. But if you drop it in the offering box, then that message will get to me. I can follow up with you or pray for you or thank God with you or whatever that might be. And, of course, if you're making an offering, that's where that goes, too. Let's see. bunch of stuff going on these days. The one I want to make sure you know about is next Sunday, we're celebrating 15 years. So next Sunday, we're going to have a little picnic after the services out in the yard, weather permitting. If the weather's not permitting, we'll eat in here. But we have breakfast today after this service. I've been hungry ever since I walked in, smelling the French toast and the sausage and all that stuff. So I'm going to try to keep it short so we can get to the food. But next week, it won't be between the services. It'll be after both services. It'll be a lunch kind of a thing. Like I said, weather permitting, we'll have the bounce house out there for the kids and all of that. So feel free to I don't know how that's going to work. If you're here at 9, you got to do something else and come back, I guess. But invite a friend. Hang out, bring something to share. We'll provide all the meats and stuff that we'll be grilling on the grill, and we'll have the drinks. But if you want to bring a dessert or a side thing, I know some of you are fantastic with that. We'd love for you to bring that and to share that, and just to celebrate 15 years. It's kind of crazy that we've been doing this thing for 15 years. How many of you, you've been a part of this church for more than 10 years? Can I just see a quick show, handful of you, more than 10 years? How many of you, it's been more than five years, which would be a bigger, how many of you just started coming within the last 5 years? Can I see a quick, okay, yeah. Yeah, so we've got a good mix of folks here, there's a lot to celebrate. There's a lot to be celebrated. So we'll talk about some of that more next week. We'll celebrate some of those things together, it's good. It's good. It's good to get together and to have little parties and to celebrate these things, these milestones in life. All right, there's lots of other things you can read about in there. I'll let you do that. So last week we started on the book of Acts, and one of the verses, one of the key verses for the book of Acts is there at the top of your notes that you've got in there, where Jesus says to his disciples before he ascends into heaven, after he's conquered sin and death, he's died on the cross. He's risen from the grave. He spent 40 days with his disciples teaching them about the kingdom of God, it says. And then he meets with them and he says, they ask, so now, you've defeated death. Now is the time you're going to overthrow the Romans. You're going to, is the end going to come or are all injustices are overturned and where, there's an end to all, is the end, is it happening now? And Jesus says to him, it's not for you to know the times or dates that the Father set by his own authority. As frustrating as that is, sometimes he doesn't give us the answers to our questions. He says, look, you don't get to know that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll receive the ability, the power to do what God needs you to do by the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem was the capital city where they were right then as he's telling this. Judea was like the region that Jerusalem was in. Samaria was the region next door, and of course then just to the ends of the earth. And that sets the tone for the whole book of Acts. I mean, that's what happens. We looked last week at how in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples, and they said this promise is for everybody, men, women, young, old, anybody who turns to God, anybody who says, God, I need your forgiveness. He says, God will forgive your sins, will wash you, make you clean, and will give you this gift of the Holy Spirit, the life of God poured into your life. And thousands of people said, I want that. I need forgiveness. I want the life of God in my life. I need this power to live the life God created me to live. And the whole rest of the book of Acts then is kind of an expression of this witness. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Now, what do you think of when you hear this idea of being witnesses? I'm curious what's in your mind. Do any of you think of, what do you think of? Okay. Yeah, telling a story, telling what you saw. Yeah, like an eyewitness to the scene of a crime, for example. Or, yeah. Yeah, it's like I had to stop because I saw this accident happen, and I'm stopping so I can tell what happened. I was a witness to this thing that took place. What else? When you think of witness, what do you think of? Especially in this context of like being a witness, like a Christian witness. What do you? Yeah. To tell the story. Okay. Yeah, you got to tell the story. Here's what happened. Here's what I saw. What you experience, yeah. Testimonies, yeah, people sharing their story of like, here's what God's done in my life. Boy, do none of you think of like the people that go door to door and knock on doors and all that kind of stuff? That's the first thing that popped in my head when I hear that idea of witnessing. I mean, I think of people who are going on mission trips or people who are going like the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or the folks from the Baptist church up the street, you know, that have they all visited your house at some point? All the time. Okay. All right. And then that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to witness. They're trying to get out there and tell their story. They're trying to, I mean, I think that's what they're trying to do anyway. I don't usually spend much of a conversation with them, to be honest. I mean, it's like, you have a, yeah, I've got a church. I'm actually the pastor of a church. Oh, great. Well, do you want to, like, we can talk if you want. Sure, that's not a problem, but I'm not going to change, you know, I'm not going to visit your church. I'm busy Sunday mornings. I'm, you know, kind of at my church. And I'm busy Sunday mornings. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes when we hear this witness thing, we think, oh, that's good. That's for other people. You know, that's for those other folks. That's for those evangelists or those pastors who get up there and they get up with a microphone and they share their story. Or they go door to door. Or they go and travel to distant lands or something. But according to the Bible, this witness thing is something that we all do. That we all have an experience with God. If you've had an experience with God, if you have come to this place and done what Peter talked about to the crowds, you know, last week in chapter 2, where you've said, yes, I need God's grace. Yes, I'm turning from my sin and turning to God. If he has forgiven your sins, if he has given you the Holy Spirit, the life of God, to help you to live a new life, if your life is being transformed, you have a story to tell. And this thing is for all of us, which can be pretty intimidating. Because then all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, I'm going to have to go talk to somebody about Jesus. Okay, what's that mean? How am I supposed to do that? And we get nervous. We think we're going to have to, you know, we're going to get in an argument, or they're going to get unhappy, or we're going to be one of those weirdos, you know, that's always, you know, talking about Jesus all the time, and wearing, you know, I'm going to have to start wearing Christian t-shirts, and I'm going to start carrying a big Bible around, or, you know, whatever. And we get these weird images in our head of what that's going to mean and how we're going to irritate all of our coworkers or our classmates or whatever. And what I want us to see from the, that might be true, okay? That might be what God's calling you to do. I don't want to dismiss that. It might be he's calling you to be like one of those really irritating out there, you know, that might be. I don't know. But what I see in the book of Acts is something, the reason I put show and tell up at the top is because we don't just witness with our words. I mean, we certainly do. We tell the story. But just as important is the witness of our lives. Just as important is that your life demonstrates that you have been touched by God, that Jesus Christ is leading you into a new way of living. You can't have one without the other, or it doesn't work. If you just have the changed life, but nobody knows why, it's like, well, like, what, are you just going to not tell them why? Are you just going to, like, oh, I can't tell you, it's a secret? That doesn't work. If you just have the words and you don't have the demonstrated life, well, then nobody wants to listen to that, do they? You've probably had people that have done that, you know, and you've said, I don't, either you just don't know them, it's like, well, why would I listen to anything you have to say? Or their life actively, like, works against their message, you know? Jesus loves you and wants to change your life. Well, why hasn't he changed yours? You know, why are you still such a jerk? Or why are you still such a hypocrite, you know, where you act one way and then you talk one way and you act another? Maybe there's not really anything to this. Maybe it's just words. Well, in the book of Acts, it seems pretty clear that there's a life that changes. I mean, your life is a witness. And I see it right away. I mean, we were looking at Acts chapters 1 and 2 last week. You get to chapter 3. I don't know if any of you have been reading the book of Acts. Again, I think it's great. I hope that you'll read it this month, because especially as you get into the stories about Paul and some of his missionary journeys, it can be some crazy stuff. But right in chapter 3, it tells a story that I think illustrates this beautifully and how this can work in our lives. Which you might not think right away. But at first, you're going to read this and you're going to think, Rich, that's not me. I can't do that. Don't worry, okay? We'll get to it. Acts chapter 3, it says, one day Peter and John, two of the kind of key disciples, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold, I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. I can just imagine the jumping. You know, it's like, I haven't walked for, woohoo, man, I had my feet work again, all right. You know, he's praising God. He's ecstatic. He can't believe this. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we'd made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he'd decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that's completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he'd foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, the times of refreshing may come from the Lord." And he keeps on talking to them. And eventually a whole bunch of them say, "Well, yeah, we want that." And they do. They repent. They turn to God, and they find forgiveness. Now, some of you are already grabbing pencils. I'm trying to learn here. Some of you loved fill in blanks. So the blanks right there in your notes, if you show God's love, you'll get to talk about God's love. If you show God's love to the people around you, you're going to have opportunities to talk about God's love. Your life, a life of love, a life that looks like Jesus, will lead to opportunities to talk about Jesus and to tell about what he's done. Now, I know some of you are thinking, okay, great, all I've got to do is go heal a crippled man, and I'll have an opportunity, you know. And I've got to say, this has never happened to me. All right, I have never been walking down the street and seen somebody who was, you know, maybe one of those times, you know, you're in downtown Chicago and there's somebody begging on the sidewalk and you can see from looking at them like they're missing a part of a leg or they've got, you know, there's something wrong with one of their feet and you can tell, oh, this person, you know, they're crippled, they're injured, there's something. I have never in one of those moments felt like, okay, power of God is here. I'm just going to tell this guy to get up and walk and help the guy up. You know, I've never done that. I've never felt in that moment that that's what I should do, and so I haven't done it. But I have plenty of times stopped and given them something. You know, like Peter was able to say, "Hey, I don't have any silver or gold." And there have been times I wished I could say, "Oh, I don't have any money," you know, but I'm like, "Oh, man, I got money in my wallet right now." You know, I could give you something. Peter and John didn't have money with them. But what they did have in that moment was this awareness that God wants to heal this person. And so they gave what they had. For you and for me, we're going to bump into people all the time. We do bump into people all the time that need God's love. I mean, that's one of our goals here as a church. You know, when we started this thing 15 years ago, that's why we put right on the front of the bulletin every week. I know you don't see it because we just kind of look over. It doesn't change from week to week. It says what we're about right on the front, connecting with God, with each other, and with a world in need of God's love. Because we recognize that we're surrounded by people who need God's love. They need someone to be that the hands and feet of Christ, to demonstrate the love of God to them. And if we'll do that, well, that will lead to then opportunities to talk about Jesus, to talk about the difference that he's made in our lives, to talk about, well, why did you do that? Why were you generous in that way? Why were you kind? Why are you taking the time to help me? Why are you being such a decent human being? You know, a lot of people get treated like dirt all the time. They have nobody that reaches out and gives them a hug. They have no one that smiles at them. This past week has been, I was finding out on Facebook, Suicide Prevention Week. And there was one story I remember reading, came across the thing about somebody who was just going out of their way to smile and wave at people as they drove past because they'd heard that so many people who are contemplating suicide, if just one person had smiled at them even or had waved, that maybe they would have, you know, done something differently. We're surrounded by people who never have anybody touch them in a loving way, you know, with a handshake, a hand on the shoulder, a hug, are people who nobody ever smiles at them or stops to listen to them, to hear what they're going through. We have people all the time, coworkers, classmates, neighbors, family members, who if someone would just stop and say, "How are you doing?" and listen and care, that would be the first time anyone's done that in weeks for them. If you will show God's love, you won't have to worry about, okay, how do I work Jesus into a conversation? How am I gonna come up with a way to talk about Jesus to this person? You know, this person really needs Jesus. I can tell by their life they don't know Jesus. Or we've had conversations. I know they hate Jesus, or they hate Christians, or they whatever, you know. And God's put me in their life, and so somehow I've got to be a witness to this person. How do I do that? Well, let me suggest that one of the ways you start is by looking for opportunities to love them. Look for opportunities just to show God's love to them, to demonstrate it, to be good to them, to be kind to them, to whatever that's going to mean, I don't know. Because I don't know that person, you do. And if you'll do that, then at some point that will lead to an opportunity to talk about God's love. Now, next Sunday, we're going to talk about the talking part, all right? This week's all about the showing part. Next week's the tell. Show and tell. It's just like kids, show and tell, right? You show God's love, and then you'll get the tell of God's love. But it starts with the showing. It starts with the demonstrating. So next week, we'll look at some of the stories in the book of Acts of the different ways that people talked about Jesus and some creative things that they did and some things that we might do or the things that we need to keep in mind as we're sharing our stories with other people. But it starts, I think, for the vast majority of us, it starts by just having eyes open to the people around us. I was talking about this with the Bible study group this last Thursday night. And we were just acknowledging the need to pray, to say, "God, please help me to have eyes that are open to see the people that I walk past, to see the people I interact with on a day-to-day basis, to see those needs that I might be able to, ways that I might be able to love the people around me." Because so often, don't we just cruise right on by? We're very focused. We've got something to get done in that moment during that day. You know, we pack our lives very full. And I know some of you have already told me, like, "Rich, don't run late, because we got to leave, we got to get to a game, you know, kids got a game, and we got to go, and, you know, some of you have to get to work after this, and, you know, we got all kinds of stuff, you know, our lives are full." And when our lives are full, we tend to get focused on what's in front of us, on the task we've got to complete, and we just breeze right by people. And other people can tend to be just like, you know, obstacles in our way, and I just need you to move, because I got to get over there, you know, and I don't care right now what you're going through, you need to get out of my way, because I got to get over there. Or maybe they are just, you know, they're useful to us to get us where we need to go or to get us what we need. And if you can just give me my coffee, thank you very much. I can be, you know. And we don't notice. We don't see. Jesus was expert at noticing and seeing. Over and over again, as you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you see that Jesus is walking by and people are always clamoring for his attention. And you see that he would see someone in need. And he would stop and he would notice them. And so many times he would touch them. He would speak to them. I think Peter and John obviously had spent time with Jesus, because what do? They stop and they look at this guy. And they ask him, "Hey, look at us. Don't just hold your hand out and say, you know, alms for the poor. Look at us. Let's have an interaction. Let's treat each other like human beings here." And then they give what they have. You know, I don't know what opportunity you're going to have and what resource you're going to have available to give. Maybe it'll be a financial need and you'll be able to meet that need. Maybe someone will need a ride and you'll be able to give a ride. Maybe it'll just be that they need attention and you'll be able to give them attention. They'll be hungry for kindness and you'll be able to show them kindness. You know, Peter and John showed the love of God to this man, and it was a miraculous event. And it drew a crowd, and Peter saw his opportunity, so he talked with them about how this happened. You know, and this might happen for you. You might do something, if as you get good at showing God's love, at some point you'll do something that someone will notice, and they'll say, "Whoa, that was weird." You know, and you might not even notice. I mean, what are you talking about? "Well, that guy just was like screaming at you, and you just kind of smiled and, you know, shrugged it off. You didn't get upset." "Well, yeah, I guess not. How did you do that?" And look at that. You've got an opportunity to say, "Well, yeah, I guess that is kind of, if you knew what I was like a few years ago, that is kind of weird. But, you know, God's been working on my life. Several years ago, I realized I needed to make a change, and I turned to God. And so since then, I've been trying to follow Jesus, and I guess it's working. I mean, it could be as simple as something like that. You might not have all the language that you need, or you might not have all the Bible verses to quote, but you can just point to Jesus as the reason why your life is different, as the reason why things are changing for you. I was thinking about that this week, and how sometimes people look at me or people talk to me, and they'll say, "Oh, Rich, you're just so whatever," and they'll say something good about me. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, well, yeah, I'm like that now. You know, I haven't always been like that. You know, I haven't always been able to listen and to listen kindly to someone. I haven't always been able to disagree agreeably. I haven't always been able to not, you know, take the bait and get into that, you know, fight of words or fists or whatever. You're seeing me now, you know, after years and years of God working on me, you know. You didn't see me before. You don't know what was going through the back of my head right before I didn't say it, you know, or right before I replied, you know, kindly, right before I extended those words of forgiveness or compassion or whatever it might be. So when you do those things, you have an opportunity to say, like, well, yeah, I guess Jesus, this whole Jesus thing works, you know. I've been trusting him, and he's really is changing my life. And that might lead to more, and that might lead to more. Somebody reminded me the other day that, as I was talking about this a year ago, I think, about sharing your story, it's like, you don't have to, like, shove all the whole story in their ears all at once, you know. It's like cookies, you know, just give them a cookie, and they'll probably want another cookie, you know. They'll probably want to know more, and they'll ask a question, and then you'll get a chance to share more. Sorry, this is supposed to be next week, talking about the telling part. This is supposed to be the showing part. All right. Show God's love, and you will have opportunities to tell of God's love. And now these apostles, they did this. Peter and John did this. They shared God's love with this guy, and the healing power of God was there. And wow, they got to tell about God's love, and it got them in trouble. It won't always go well when you do this, okay? Sometimes you'll show God's love. Somebody will ask you. You'll say something about Jesus, and they'll get upset, or they'll brush you off, or it won't go as smoothly as you were hoping it would go. It didn't go smoothly for Peter and John. They got hauled in front of the authorities because there was a huge crowd coming together, and they're talking about Jesus, and, you know, our leaders crucified him, but, you know, God raised him from the dead. And so the leaders are getting a little upset about this, you know, and they call him in, and they're like, you can't be talking about Jesus, all right? He's dead. He's gone. You can't be talking about him. You're stirring up trouble. And we've got one example of what Peter said. There's more. But part of what Peter said to him, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he said to the leaders, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. So salvation's found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who'd been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. This is great. I love this aspect of the story. Because so many times we feel unprepared. We feel like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Have you been with Jesus? Has Jesus transformed your life? Are you spending time with Jesus? Peter and John spent 3 years of their life following Jesus around, learning from him, learning from his example, listening to what he had to say. Have you spent time with Jesus? I'm privileged. I got to go to college for this. I got to go to seminary and study, you know, the scriptures and study all ministry, leadership, and church stuff. I know most of us in the room haven't done that. But have you been with Jesus? Is he changing your life? Okay. Fantastic. That's all that had happened to these guys too. They'd been with Jesus, and their lives were starting to look like his. That next blank there is this, that your life validates your witness or confirms your witness, or at the very least, it shouldn't work against your witness. Your life is what shows people, yeah, wow, maybe there's something to this. Oh, these people have been with Jesus, and wow, now they've got this boldness, and they've got this courage. They couldn't say anything because the guy whose life was changed was right there. The man who was healed was standing right there. When you talk to people about Jesus, if your life has been changed, what are they going to say? Like, oh, it doesn't really work. You know, well, but I'm better now, you know? I'm kinder now than I used to be. I'm able to love people in a way I wasn't able to love them before. Like, you might not believe it, but okay, all I can say is that my life is different. You know, when you demonstrate a changed life to people, what are they going to argue with you that, no, you're not really changed? No, they can't. I mean, because you're right there, standing in front of them. You're loving people. Your life validates your witness. Or, as we mentioned earlier, so often it doesn't. And that causes problems. At its core, the last blank I gave you, the Christian life looks like Jesus. And the Christian life looks like Christ. That's why you're called a Christian. It's like a little Christ, little Jesus. These men had been with Jesus. They had learned from him. Oh, here's what it looks like to love. In fact, Jesus said this in John's gospel. It's recorded for us, John chapter 13. Jesus said to his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." He says, this is the mark. This is the evidence that you have been with me. This is how people will know, oh, you must be one of Jesus' followers, because you love like Jesus loved. They're not going to know that you're one of his disciples because you managed to get the person you wanted elected. They're not going to know that you're his disciple because you managed to have the best response ever to that person on Facebook. They're not going to know that you're his disciple because of the way you dress or because of the things you don't drink or don't chew or smoke or whatever. They're not going to know you're his disciple because of the things that... They're going to know you're his disciple by the love that you demonstrate for each other. And as we've talked about in past weeks, I mean, Jesus doesn't draw a line saying, okay, you can just love these people. You can just love your fellow believers, but you don't have to love those people. By the love that you show to each other, to your brothers and sisters in Christ, the love you show to your neighbor, the love you show to your enemies, this is going to demonstrate that you have been with Jesus, that you're one of his disciples. And this kind of a changed life is what gives power to your story, because that is your story, is that Jesus is changing my life. Your life validates your witness. So if you read the book of Acts, you're going to see a whole lot of love demonstrated. You're going to see a whole lot of the kind of lives that these early followers lived. Last week, we just mentioned this right at the end, from Acts chapter 2, these new believers who say, wow, I need this. I need forgiven. I need the life of God alive in me. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. It says they wanted to hear. They were hungry. Like, okay, so what did Jesus teach? I want to follow Jesus. What did Jesus teach? I need to learn from the apostles. What is it that Jesus taught us? So they were devoted to that, to the fellowship, devoted to each other, to living life together, breaking bread together, praying together. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They were overwhelmingly generous. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I would say in part because they were demonstrating with their lives what it looks like to love. They were living lives of openness, of generosity, of kindness. Where this isn't just my life where I look out for number one. This is a life where now I look out for you and I care about you. And I want to learn from Jesus how to live this life. As you keep on reading the book of Acts, you see this is not perfect. They were not perfect people, and they didn't do things perfectly, which is good news for all of us imperfect people who don't do things perfectly. All right? They messed up just like we mess up. They corrected course just like we can correct course. They got forgiveness just like we can get forgiveness and help to do better. They needed each other. We need each other. Now, when they got in trouble, when they demonstrated by their lives and when they witnessed with their words to the love of God and what God had done in Jesus Christ, sometimes they got in trouble. And over again in the book of Acts, they get in trouble. All right, whether it's in Jerusalem, and then finally one of them gets killed, and then they start spreading out through Judea and Samaria, and it doesn't all go well for them there either. And then they start spreading out all over the Mediterranean, and especially as you read about Paul and his journeys, the Apostle Paul, he gets arrested, he gets beaten, he gets left for dead, he gets thrown in jail. It's the kind of thing that we all want to do, right? But this is the life that God had called him to, and it's this life of openness. That says, okay, God, I am open. Help me to be open to where you're leading me today, to see the opportunities to love. And for some of us, it might be that, like for Peter and John, they were just going through their day, all right? Forgot, I should have mentioned that. They're just on their way to the temple like they were going every day. And this opportunity arose. So many times, it's just going to be in the course of your normal life, an opportunity will arise for you to love, for you to show God's love, which will, at some point, sometimes will lead to an opportunity to tell of God's love. You're not going to have to manufacture this opportunity. But sometimes, if you are open to God, if you're praying to God, God, please help me to have eyes open to see the people around me. Help me to have ears open to hear your Spirit leading me. Help me to see the opportunities that you're going to place in front of me today to show your love. There are going to be times where you're praying like that, that God's going to say, okay, and I've got more for you to do. I want you to go out of your way to do this thing, to get involved with this, to travel to that place. As you read the book of Acts, that's what happened to Paul and his friend Barnabas. They were just praying one day, and God says, hey, Paul and Barnabas, set them apart. I got a special mission for them. They're going to be traveling missionaries. And they're going to go, and that's how their journey starts, because they were open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. This changed life of love is a life of openness. A life that says, okay, God, I want you to lead me wherever you need me to go. And it might be that God is calling you to go out of your way. I don't know what that's going to look like exactly. I don't know if he's going to call you to go on a mission trip or, you know, change your career or something like that. It might be something as simple as he wants you to get involved in someone's life that you haven't been involved in. Somebody he wants you to love. Somebody he wants you to reach out to. But this life of love, this life of openness, I mean, it leads to opportunities to demonstrate God's love. These guys were bold. They didn't hold back. That's the last verses that I put there, Acts chapter 4. After they'd gotten in trouble, they actually got in trouble again. And then and they get arrested. They spend the night in jail. And when they get out and they go join their other, you know, fellow believers, and they're talking about, hey, we got in trouble. Awesome. Cool. They're kind of excited about it. And they pray. And they don't pray, God, please, Help us to win the next election, to put different leaders in place so that we can be free to, you know, they don't pray that way. They don't pray, God, please help us not to get in trouble anymore. You know, we can't get in trouble anymore. They don't pray that way. They pray, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They're saying, God, please, help us to keep doing what you called us to do, to keep demonstrating love, empowered by you, to demonstrate love. Help us to keep on talking. This is what they've just been commanded not to do. Don't talk about Jesus anymore. Well, God, help us to keep on talking even more boldly. So after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Just at the bottom there, this is three words that have helped me. Like, this is the order things typically go in. Prayer, care, share. You pray. You start by praying. And God, please, open my eyes to opportunities that are around me. Please, God, help me to do this boldly, not to shrink back. And then as you have opportunities, you care for someone. You show the love of God. And at some point, that will lead to opportunities to share. And we'll talk about that next week. Right now, let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you that when we came to you, you didn't push us away. But when we got honest with you and just admitted our need, God, you offered forgiveness and grace. You washed away our sins. And by trusting in Jesus Christ, you have given us new life. You have poured out your Holy Spirit upon us, giving us the power to be your witnesses by our lives and by our words. God, I pray that for each one of us, you would give us the experience of a transformed life, that we would experience your love changing us from the inside out. Keep doing your work in us, God, because we don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to be walking around saying, yep, Jesus can change your life, when our own lives aren't changing. So God, please, help us to say yes to you, to be open to you and the changes that you want to work in us. Help us to more and more look like Jesus, to live lives of love. Give us courage, God, that as you present us with opportunities to show love to the people around us, give us courage to do that. And when that provides an opportunity to explain why, give us the words to say. Help us just to be honest about what we have experienced, that we might be your witnesses here in the world. Thank you, God, for demonstrating your love for us in Jesus Christ. It's because of him that we have new life and hope. And that's why we celebrate this morning in the act of communion your gift of love in him. We offer you these gifts of bread and juice and pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our risen Savior in his body and in his blood. We remember in this moment the great sacrifice that was made on our behalf as Jesus went to the cross and died for us out of love. Thank you, God. Thank you that out of love for us, you conquered sin and death in Jesus Christ. You raised him from that grave. You have exalted him to the place of highest honor at your right hand, and you have poured out the Spirit of Christ into our hearts today, that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, your hands and your feet, your ears, showing your love. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The band's going to lead us in one last song, and we're going to celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread, with a cup of grape juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice and eat it, and then return to your seat. This is open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. And if you're not in that place yet, that's fine. If you're still exploring Christian faith, you're in the right place. But if today you're saying, thank you, God. If today you're saying, God, I need your grace and I need your love. If today you're turning from sin and turning to Jesus, then this is for you. So let's give thanks. And let's celebrate the love God has shown us in Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for the gift of love you have shown us in Jesus Christ, that you would go to such lengths to win us back, to draw us to yourself, so that we might be your sons and your daughters here in the world. Thank you, God. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ, that we might live as the body of Christ, that we might give ourselves in love to those around us, that your love might be seen in us. Thank you, God. And thank you for the food that we're about to enjoy together. Thank you for those who prepared it, those who are serving us. Thank you, God. Thank you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Normally I'd say go in peace, but just go get a piece of French toast and stick around.